listening to Get Sports Radio.
It's episode 42, kicking off the fantasy playoffs. I'm your host, Dan Claskins, and happy to be here with you, guiding you all the way to your fantasy football championship. The podcast comes at you weekly all season long. We'll be here to the Super Bowl doing Wednesday night podcast. As I talk to you now, it is Wednesday, December the 6th, around 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and dead smack in the middle of prep for what proves to be the most important week of the fantasy season at this point. It is week 14. Did you make it in? Did you get past the cut, if you will? I did in most of my leagues, in the majority of the leagues. I have made it to the playoffs. There are a couple that the playoffs haven't begun. We've had our duds, too. Everybody has. It's part of the process, but whether you made it or you didn't, now's the time of the season where it's all on the line. So you've either fallen out and you're starting to play for next year, or you're as dialed in as you've been all season looking to wrap it up. And man, the thing is you got to stick to the process, people. I talk about it all the time. You can't start overanalyzing, second-guessing yourself. And as I sit here and tell you it, I'm as guilty of it as anybody at times. But, you know, at this point, I always compare it to free throws in basketball. And sitting there after practice and shooting dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of free throws. And the concept was you wanted to repeat the same exact fundamental process each and every time. That's the way you have to approach your lineups. It's going to burn you at times. You're not going to get it all right. But more often than not, over the long run, my process has led to success. So I can speak to that for you for sure. And you know, that's what we try to do here on the podcast, week in, week out. Keep you dialed in. As always, you can find it at GetSportsInfo.com. That's where the blog's at. You get a ton of free content there. I blog about all things sports. It's a great, whatever I feel like talking about at times, but certainly some good fantasy football information, including James Rapine, Stud Duds and Sleepers, our GSI cheat sheet in its 15th season. Free fantasy rankings for you there as well. And of course, you can subscribe, and I hope you do, on whatever your preferred listening mechanisms are, but iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, that's where you will find us for sure. And make sure you're updated. Like I said, I'm going to try to do these on Wednesdays now through the Super Bowl, updating you and, of course, keeping you with some special off-season additions ahead as well. And let's talk about a little bit about how you got there. Love to hear on Twitter. We're asking this week, why did you make the playoffs? Why didn't you? Let me know at Dan Claskins. I love to get some of those conversations going. Follow me there as well. Lots of good links. The fantasy takes. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at GetSportsInfo. And I like our Facebook page as well. We're going to be doing some Facebook Lives and some things heading down the stretch of the season there. And you have to follow and like the Facebook page at GetSportsInfo to be alerted to those as well. And at this point, a lot of leagues, the only thing I hate about the playoffs is teams fall out now, right? There's still a month of football left here of the regular season in the NFL, but yet half, if not more, than fantasy owners in leagues are not playing meaningful stuff. And I'm not saying that you need to necessarily make it, but yet try to figure out ways to keep more guys involved. I think weekly prize money and having games even aren't playoff games for high weeks is the easiest way if you're willing to pay the extra jack into your league pool. I do think some consolation bracket type stuff. Often the non-playoff teams in some of our leagues play for the number one overall pick in some drafts. I've heard that. There's a lot of interesting ways there. And I just challenge you to explore ways to get more owners involved and keep them engaged to enjoy the full part of the regular season. And, of course, you can always play DFS and daily. And we do that, too. But check it out, and see how you can improve your league. Talk about it, how to keep owners more engaged, not just when the playoffs start, but even some of the guys and gals that start to tank things down the stretch when their team sort of fall out of that playoff hunt. And the more people that are interested, the better the league it is for the long run. Now let's get into some of our headlines. We've got injuries to talk about. I'm going to hit that waiver wire a little bit, give you some names that might still be out there to help you in that week 14 lineup. And as always, I'll wrap up the episode talking about players I like more, players I like less than the expert consensus ranking at fantasypros.com. My ranking scored there. Had a little bit of success these past few years. Feeling pretty good about this year. Yeah, we've had good weeks, we've had bad weeks, but we're still in the upper portions there, still in the green, if you will. But, of course, you can find my rankings, all my articles, exclusively at Pro Football Focus as well. And right now in December, I'm doing just my Tuesday piece, basically the stock market report. Enjoyed my article there last week, looking at some fantasy risers and fallers. Had some good takes on Marquise Goodwin, and definitely was talking up about how he's becoming fantasy relevant all of a sudden with Jimmy Garoppolo taking over the reins of that San Francisco offense. Talked about how I'm sort of sliding down here on Mike Evans. I mean, talk about a guy that's disappointed. Evans turned in his second worst performance of the season in Sunday's loss at Green Bay back there in week 13. Only 2 catches on 6 targets, 33 yards. That's his 5th straight game without a touchdown. And even with Jameis Winston returning under center, he was disappointing. I think he's a mid-range wide receiver too, until further notice. In my dynasty auction league that I participate in, I've got him in my lineup right now on the bench as the flex spot. Now, granted, I have A.J. Green and Michael Thomas on this squad, and we can only start 2 receivers. So in this instance, he's moving into the flex and competing with Carlos Hyde, who's getting bumped up by Alvin Kamara and Devontae Freeman now back for me. So at this point, I got Hyde in over him. And you can't go all the way from Evans. I think this Lions matchup down there is interesting, but he's been a disappointment. And here's the thing. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was drafted early in drafts, only finished with wide receiver 1 numbers 4 times this year. The last time that happened, that even was a wide receiver 1 in weekly scoring, came all the way back on October 22nd against the Bills. He finished outside the top 40 just as many times he's been inside the top 12, 4 this year. And it's just been a little disappointing. In terms of guys I'm liking a lot, we talked about Goodwin there, but really talking up Rex Burkhead in this office. I've been more bullish on him than the industry in general pretty much the whole season. I was looking like I sort of blew it a little bit when he was dinged up in injuries and the such. I never really fully bought into Mike Gillisley at any point during all of his preseason hype. And I understand that it's still a bit of a guessing game and certainly a ceiling to these touches. Burkhead getting it done. 15 touches last week against Buffalo. He carried the ball 12 times for 78 yards. Got those 2 touchdowns. 4 targets, turned him into 3 catches for another 25. And over the last 4 weeks, he's seen 13 touches per game, ranking 3rd in PPR points per opportunity in the league during that span. He's RB5 in that period. And I think he's still being vastly underrated in fantasy circles. I view him as a high-risk, high-upside, top 15 running back. And if you want to read about my takes on him and some of the others, be sure to check it out. It's a free article every Tuesday at Pro Football Focus. And, of course, I put that out there on my Twitter. Links to all my articles and rankings and everything you need to keep up with my stuff at Dan Claskins. We're talking some injuries here in a minute, but a couple interesting headlines to talk about first. And God, what a gigantic mess in New York with the Giants. After a week later from being benched, Eli Manning now returning as a starting quarterback. And this is after Ben McAdoo and they cleaned house. The GM's gone, the coach is gone, interim coach is in, Eli's back. And I mean, is it an improvement? Yes, but I'm divorcing the New York Giants for the most part from fantasy consideration, unless they're Evan Ingram or Sterling Shepard. I think Eli, the running game, the defense, it's just an eerie situation. I honestly don't have any season-long shares of Ingram or Shepard. So for me, I am completely divorcing of them, but those would be the only 2 advisable options that I could even think about. Orleans Darkwa, I mean, flex at best, TD dependent back. This week's matchup against the Cowboys, not really feeling that. So I think as we look at that, it's just not a situation I want to really get involved in. Meanwhile, elsewhere in the headlines this week, a continuing of player suspensions for stupidity. And I love Rob Gronkowski. Gronk is absolutely probably one of my favorite football players ever. They never played for a team I liked. And don't have him in season long this year. Just never really were willing to pay that price. But I do love watching the guy play football. He's a good dude. And what he did this week was just stupid. I mean, let's call it what it is. He appealed the suspension of one game that was handed down there, but I mean, let's be honest, it was a legit thing with the way he came in on that play in that game against Buffalo. And I mean, he violated the league's player safety policy, what it boils down to, an illegal hit on the Bills corner, Tre'Davious White, ended up with a concussion there. And so I think it was justified. And so Gronk will sit out. He appealed, so he's not going to play this week. And, oh, well, do they really need Gronk? They're at Miami. The Dolphins usually play him a little bit tough here. I'm expecting probably closer than the 11-point spread, but they're going to be able to beat them with or without Gronk, so not a big deal. He'll be back for that Week 15 matchup, one that could end up deciding home field advantage when the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Patriots tangle just 1 week from now. Speaking of the Steelers, the other suspension we got to talk about, Juju Smith-Schuster, a guy that I'm invested in some keeper formats. I've liked what I've seen. He's one of the youngest players in the league, the youngest player in the league. But his cheap shot on Vontaze Burfict, and then the way he stood over him and taunted, he should have been ejected. And, dude, you just lost so many points on my board. Yeah, I'm a Bengals fan, but this isn't about Bengals and Steelers. And that whole thing, those two teams are an embarrassment anyway when they play each other. And it's making it more and more of a challenge for me to remain a Bengals fan, honestly, because, I mean, it starts with leadership. And these teams, that hit there was just ridiculous. And, I was liking this guy, and he's got to re-earn some of my liking before I continue to remain a fan. But from a fantasy perspective, he's shown some light. But he's going to be sitting out this week against Baltimore. And that's tough. But, like Gronk, he'll be back next week for that big matchup in Week 15. Martavis Bryant obviously coming up the board a little bit, but let's not get carried away. I just can't trust him with meaningful things on the line. All right, let's do this. Let's roll through the injuries. Goodness, I feel like I could do an entire podcast that's like an hour long breaking down these injuries. And because I'm coming at you on a Wednesday night, there's a lot of them. Some of them will answer themselves here for us. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on some of these, some more than others, but my quick takes on the injury report in a game coming our way Thursday night, Mark Ingram, the Saints running back. He's been a top five performer much of the season here at the position. His status for the Week 14, opening week of the playoffs in many cases for owners, very much up in the air. He's dealing with a turf toe issue here, a toe issue, and his status up in the air. The fact they're on a short week here, it's a big game, but the Saints prime for a playoff spot. I don't know. I think it's really dicey whether or not we're going to see Mark Ingram. I wish we knew a little more as we're recording this. Some of you might be listening to me after the Thursday game, but for those early listeners and the ones that subscribe to the podcast and are listening pretty quickly here, he did not practice again here on Wednesday. That's two straight days, and I think this is going to go squarely down to a game-time decision, but why risk it? You have a capable guy in Kamara. I think the game plan could quickly shift to a Drew Brees pass-heavy approach. They could attack it that way. Give Ingram that extra 3 days, because this game here isn't what they're really shooting for. They're behind the home field stuff. The division's in line. I don't know. I think at this point, it's on the wrong side of 50-50 the way I read this thing, but we will pay attention for you. On other injury news on games outside of the Thursday contest, Adrian Peterson missed last week, didn't practice today, still dealing with that neck issue, getting up there in years, not a lot to play for. It's a neck injury, folks. Is he really going to risk it? We haven't seen him as of yet. We're going to keep our eyes on Adrian Peterson. But at this point, the Titans matchup, maybe he comes in as a back-end RB2 if he's healthy here. But right now, I have my reservations of, even if he returns, what type of workload they're ready to feed this guy. Joe Mixon has yet to clear concussion protocol for the Bengals, coming off the short week of Monday night. Gio Bernard, actually a pretty, and we'll get to him in a minute with waiver wire pickups, but he could end up being a pretty attractive guy to add to that fantasy playoff roster if Mixon cannot get out of the protocol and misses Week 14's tilt against the Bears at Paul Brown Stadium. Speaking of concussions, speaking of running backs, let's move on to Doug Martin. He back as a full participant at Wednesday's practice, coming back from his concussion that forced him to miss out last week. And so it's looking good like he's going to return. The real question is he still the starter in Tampa Bay? How much of the workload does he really have? Because Peyton Barber, 143 total yards last week. He's on fire. Martin was pretty brutal, ranking last among qualified rushers with his 3.2 yards per carry. Not doing a great stuff. So Martin's back, but probably not a guy. I mean, yeah, I guess if he's been dropped and it's a deep league and I'm weak at running back, I can stick him on my bench and hope this guy gets hot. But he's not going anywhere near my lineup, people. And I feel the same way about Amir Abdullah. He missed last week with a neck injury and that loss to the Ravens. He did make it back to a limited practice here on Wednesday with that issue. He only got one limited practice in all last week, so this is already ahead of curve. So he's on the right side maybe of questionable. And, you know, he's if he plays inside the top 30 to 40, but, I mean, he's a flex play at best. And I'm looking at this matchup wishing I could wish more there. But, I mean, Tampa Bay, I'm guessing Detroit. I like Detroit to win this on the road. I like him to score probably 25-plus points. So Abdullah becomes a flex option at best. But, you know, we're going to have to track this one all the way through the week. Matthew Stafford, the quarterback for the Lions, didn't look good coming out with that hand injury. But they're talking it out down, and it's looking more and more like he's going to be back on. And this maybe have been a nice little survive scare here for the Lions. But Stafford, nice streaming option as well. And if the news is continues to look positive, here's a guy that I could definitely see ascending up my board a little bit in my QB ranks. The rankings, my first edition of him, had him as a top 10 option right there at 10. I mean, if he's back in, putting in full practices by Friday, I might bump him up a couple spots. You know, there always is tweaks from this point. But right now, a guy that's a low-end QB1, guy I really can't trust anywhere near lineup, Tyrod Taylor. Might not have to worry about it. He's dealing with a day-to-day issue, they're calling it, with a knee contusion. Looked much worse. He was dinged up early in that game against the Patriots. Totally laid an egg for me in a very pivotal game where I used him. So maybe some recency bias playing into my analysis here, but I'm done with the whole Buffalo Bills situation. And Tyrod Taylor, I mean, he could be benched at any minute if he did play. He hasn't practiced yet. It looks like Nate Peterman, who is who they need to get a look at this point eventually. I know the five interceptions were a disaster, but what are the Bills playing for at this point? I think you're going to see him, and it could happen in the middle of a game, and I think it could be an easy excuse why Tyrod might not play this week. The Bills will likely welcome back Kelvin Benjamin with a knee. He's been out the last couple weeks, so the quarterback situation being what it was, it makes him a dicey proposition. They did put Jordan Matthews on injured reserve, ending his season. Amari Cooper has cleared concussion protocol, but did not practice Wednesday in the Raiders practice session as they prepare to make a trip to Arrowhead to take on a Kansas City Chiefs team. A total in this game, 47.5. The Chiefs already suspending Marcus Peters and such. So they've been getting lit up like a Christmas tree through the air. So Cooper would be great if he was here. The fact is clear, concussion protocol is good. Still an ankle issue, didn't practice. He's sort of dicey this week, but Michael Crabtree, a guy I'm all over, and we're going to keep our eyes on Mr. Cooper. Good news for Chris Hogan. He's back in practice for the Patriots. We talked about they're dealing with the Gronk suspension here. It's a very timely return for Tom Brady to get this weapon back. He came back to practice, and they're playing on Monday night. So he's already practicing today in the walkthroughs and stuff. So this looks like a final return here now for Hogan. The upside is immense. But we don't know what this game plan is going to be. We don't know what Miami team's going to show up. It's a team that has played New England pretty traditionally close in recent years, but they've also been pretty terrible throughout the 2017 campaign. So this could be a situation where Hogan's back and he's involved, but he's not necessarily needed as much. But I think there's a tremendous ceiling. I haven't really stuck him into the ranks of yet. It was sort of a late development as I was getting my first projections run through here. So he'll be at it on my next little swing through on Thursday before kickoff. But I have a tough time looking at him as any more than wide receiver 3, even with that enormous upside based off the risk that he carries playing him in your lineup. Elsewhere, I mean, Phil Fuller, ribs, he could return this week. Rishard Matthews also could return for the Titans with a hamstring issue. Robert Woods not back yet with a shoulder issue, so we will track those for you as well. Zach Ertz, concussion, hasn't cleared protocol after Sunday night's incident against the Seahawks. He's on not a good start to the week here, and it's, you know, hopefully if he gets back on Thursday, maybe there's a chance by Friday, but Trey Burton would back him up if he couldn't in a key matchup there with the Rams in Los Angeles. Jimmy Graham didn't practice Wednesday. It's been happening like that quite frequently. They're listing him with an ankle issue. Don't think it's a big deal, but we'll keep our eyes on it. Jordan Reed, don't have to sweat him out. He's already been ruled out once again with the hamstring issue. He won't play in week 14. Delanie Walker did suffer an ankle issue. He's questionable. Have to see how this goes. Greg Olsen removed from the injury report with that foot injury. He's going to play probably in some limited snaps, but they could be meaningful ones. And given the landscape of the position with all these injuries, Olsen has to be back end tight end one consideration. But I do think his ceiling is pretty low. And Charles Clay, knee issue, missing practice again. He hasn't looked the same since coming back here. They've been holding him out of practice, but the quarterback situation's a mess. He's outside tight end one range and a guy that I'm avoiding. Let's get into hitting that waiver wire. When we were doing the two podcasts earlier this season, we had a more emphasis on the waiver wire. Some of you may have already had waiver wire. Some high-stakes leagues, you don't run waiver wire now. So I'm going to make this quick. Not a lot of scoopins out there. I mean, dude, if Aaron Rodgers is still on your wire and hasn't been picked up, clearly you're picking him up, but I don't expect that to be the case. I think Case Keenum in shallower leagues is that streaming option, probably on my fringe of top 20 that might be out there. And, you know, from a deeper stash, I mean, Josh McCown, another big day there, continues to be undervalued, but not a lot. Blake Bortles, probably the real deep dive. Looks pretty good there. I don't love his matchup, though, there against Seattle. But Seattle, not quite the same on the road. I do think the waiver wire pickup of the week is Gio Bernard. As I mentioned, Joe Mixon diagnosed with concussion during Monday night's game. Just a very physical hit he took. So Mixon's been looking better. I thought Gio looked great there. And if Mixon's out, I think Gio has some serious upside against the Bears, the top 25 running back, especially in PPR leagues. Theo Riddick, Matt Forte, guys that are getting done. Kerwin Williams seem to slide into that starting role if Peterson misses, so we'll keep our eyes on him. And, I mean, really, that's about it. Tyon Green was looking decent until Abdullah's status here got more promising. So Kenyon Drake in shallow leagues, maybe he wasn't picked up yet. I think he's definitely proved he should have been picked up. So I doubt he's out there in many spots, but just in case. And, of course, Peyton Barber. We talked about him before. With Martin's return, I think Gio's a safer bet at this point, but I like him as well. Right up there is the second best waiver wire pickup of the week. At the wide receiver position, Marquise Goodwin, we hinted on him a little bit. I don't know. There's just not a lot out there exciting me that from a free agent standpoint that I think is really an advisable option this week. Ryan Grant's always a desperation play based on that offense I think you can look at. And D.D. Westbrook, we talked about him in our article, Pro Football Focus, this week too. I mean, getting it done. He's sort of on that radar. I don't think he's ever going to live up to that preseason hype that we discussed a little bit earlier. But over the past 3 weeks, he's tied for 12th in the league with 25 targets. He's pulled in 15 of those for catches, but only netting 154 receiving yards, still searching for that first touchdown. So, he's getting some volume. He's a big play capability, but we've yet to see it come to fruition here this season. Tight end pickup of the week, and definitely the flavor of the week with CJ Fedorowicz going back with his third now concussion, is the ascending Steven Anderson, and I expect him to be the most coveted player at the position. Cameron Brate, if he was left out there, also have to consider him. Two touchdowns with Winston returning. Doesn't get a lot of catches. Doesn't, the yards aren't really haven't been there all season. He's very TD dependent, especially with the rookie OJ Howard continuing to see an increased role. But you can't disregard the touchdown volume. He's getting it done. And low end tight end one, as long as Jameis Winston's playing quarterback for the Bucks. Let's wrap up the podcast like I like to do every single week. We go through the positions, tell you the players I like more, the ones I like less than the expert consensus ranking at fantasypros.com. I lost my train of thought. My rankings are at Pro Football Focus. They're scored at Fantasy Pros. And there's definitely some glares out there this week. I mean, maybe it's what have you done for me lately attitude, but Kirk Cousins in my top 10 at number 9 at quarterback. Yes, I understand the Chargers D is going about as good as I can expect. And I've got this game Chargers 26-23, but I think most of Washington's comes through the air. I think Cousins has the high yard. I mean, he's just got such a high floor. So I get some have him out of their top 12 based on this matchup, but I don't know. I'm having a different vibe. I think there's a bounce back. They've had a little extra time to prepare for him here. I don't think he's going to have a monster game, but I've got him 5 spots higher than the expert consensus in these rankings as I talk to you now. I think Derek Carr qualifies 4 spots ahead of the experts. I've got him at number 11 this week, and it's aggressive, but he lit up Kansas City, his best game of the season. This one, of course, is in Arrowhead, but the Chiefs have been a mess. Marcus Peters is now suspended. I think with excuse me, Crabtree back and definitely there, and potentially even Cooper if he can get that ankle healthy. The weapons are back. I think Carr puts in low-end QB1 numbers. I like Andy Dalton and Jimmy Garoppolo the best from the non-top 12 guys as far as players that can outperform their current projection. I'm a little lower on Phil Rivers. I mean, the Redskins, I don't know. I think it's going to be I got him two spots lower, folks. I mean, I've got the dude at number four. Let's not be ridiculous, but I don't know. I think it's going to be a little more Melvin Gordon here. I think I can expect that. Right now, I've got Breeze a little bit lower, but if Ingram's situation continues to look dicey, Breeze is a guy that's likely to rise up my board, so we won't discuss him much. Stafford, I mean, I got him a little lower as I talked to you, a couple spots at number 10 on my rankings. Part of that was I wanted to see the injury situation, so he's another guy that can rise, but I'm backing off Cam Newton this week. He's outside my top 12. I've got him at 15, three spots lower against the experts. He's going against the Vikings D, and I don't care. I just think that's a tough matchup for the Panthers, and I really like the Vikings defense again this week as they try to take over the run there for home field advantage in the NFC. Look, going over to running back, and for the sake of time, we talk PPR only here for running backs, receivers, and tight ends that we'll discuss. I'm going to throw out a couple quick names at the running back position in PPR leagues. Devontae Freeman, Carlos Hyde. I got Freeman at 7, Hyde at 9 in my PPR ranks. That's 5th and 4 spots higher than the expert consensus. Freeman dominated the workload last week in his return. Tevin Coleman returning to more of a flex play. Atlanta in Thursday night's game against the Saints. I got it 24-22. I like New Orleans to go in here. But that's actually about 6 points less than the total there. So it's probably going to be even higher scoring than that. But I think Freeman's a big part of that. And Hyde, I mean, Texans are sort of a train wreck to me. Even though this one's in Houston, I'm buying into Garoppolo, breathing life into this offense. I don't think Garoppolo is ready to roll out as a fantasy starting quarterback at this point, and at least in one QB leagues. But I like what he's doing to the players around him. I think Hyde benefits at least, and he's going to get he's got such a high range of targets you can just count on, or excuse me, touches that you can just count on. So I think he's a guy I'm keeping my eyes on. The guys I like less. I got Deion Lewis down there a little less, Alex Collins. They're both back-end RB2s to me. They got some upside. I mean, it's not like I hate them, but it's four spots below the experts at 22 and 25, and PPR we're talking again. And Jay Ajayi, 44 in my PPR ranks. That's 7 spots lower than the expert consensus rankings. And another guy talked about in that article, my stock market report at Pro Football Focus, and the short gist of him is, I mean, before he came to this team as a Dolphin this season, 21.7 touches per contest. He's getting just 8.5 touches per contest as an Eagle. And even if he's blowing up plays and making big runs, that's just not a lot of touches. And for me, I have a tough time really in the fantasy playoffs putting him in as anything more than an RB4 flex 2 if you're in a league that has such a spot. So let's move over to the receivers, talk about some players I like more and less there. Marvin Jones, Josh Doctson, those are my two highly rated players that 5 spots ahead of the expert consensus. I got Jones at 13, Doctson only at 43. If we narrow the range down to only 2 spots, of course, Adam Thielen's number 4 in my PPR ranks. That's 3 spots ahead of the experts. And Michael Thomas, a couple spots higher there. And, of course, Crabtree, we talked about him. I've got him 3 spots higher than the expert consensus, number 9 on my board. More deep flyers that can fall into this range. I got T.Y. Hilton as 24. That's 2 spots ahead of the curve. Kelvin Benjamin, a deeper flyer, all the way down at 54 in my ranks, but that's 6 spots ahead of there. Brandon Cooks, I've got him at number 10. And that's 5 spots lower than the expert. He might even dump another drop or two here as I factor Hogan's return in. We'll see how that goes in version 2 of the rankings on Thursday. But Golden Tate dropped him down a couple spots. Hey, what have you done for me lately? I got him at 15, people. But really, the big names there and guys I don't like less. I mean, Jarvis Landry, I got at 18. That's 4 spots beneath the experts. And Sammy Watkins, I moved him to 37. Now, I don't know if he's going to get it done against the Eagles this week. At tight end, not huge guys up there on the board. I think Hunter Henry, I got him 2 spots ahead at number 5. Looks like he's dealing with a little bit of a knee issue. Like Julius Thomas, too, as a top 15 play at 15, 3 spots ahead of the experts. Steven Anderson, I've got him at 17. That's 3 spots beneath there. I think he's hyped up, but definitely my guy is Vernon Davis. I've got him 4 spots beneath the expert consensus of 15. He's ranked 19 in my PPR ranks. I'm just sort of done with him. It's been a couple duds in a row now, so it's not a guaranteed lock for him with Jordan Reed being out. So we've moved on from rolling him out or endorsing him in our play. That's all the time I've got for you here. I'm fresh out of breath as well. We'll be back next Wednesday Hopefully you advance in the playoffs. As always, follow us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes too. GetSportsInfo.com is the site where you can always find the podcast and my blog. And of course, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dan Claskins. Thanks for listening in to the Get Sports Info podcast.